Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment in the worship service in which your sacred word is addressed in a special way. And that you would give me, Father, the thoughts organized in a fashion to be presented in a simple, short way, getting to the main salient points, so that we could see that you have a special challenge for each one here, whether that challenge can be met this year or the remaining years to come before your second coming. Bless our congregation and use me to be a blessing in spite of my shortcomings and sinfulness. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at the topic entitled, When the Fullness of Time Was Come. I want you to know we're going to answer three questions. What does, quote, fullness of time mean? What does that mean? And secondly, what does this have to do with us and Christmas? So now I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to where Dee read our scripture reading, Galatians chapter 4, and let's read, let me read verses 1 through 4. Actually, I'm going to do 1 through 5. Galatians 4, 1 through 5 is a reminder, and then we're going to look at these two questions. What does it mean, fullness of time? And what does it have to do with us and with Christmas? Do you have Galatians 4? I hope everybody brought your Bibles. And children, I hope you have your Bibles. The Bible is the sword of God. And now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of this world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law. Now I want to look more closely at this phrase, when the fullness of time was come. And in order to explain to you the meaning, we're going to look at it in four categories. I want to show you that what the Bible is referring to, that when Jesus came, it was prophetically ordained. When He came, it was politically correct. When He came, it was religiously necessary. And when He came, it was socially demanding. Looking at these four aspects of the situation when Jesus showed up on the scene will give us the full idea of what God meant when He said, when the fullness of time had come, was come, or in the modern version, say, came. God sent forth His Son. First of all, prophetically, Daniel 8. I want you to notice Daniel 8. Indeed, the Bible told us exactly when Jesus would be here. And some recognize this fact. The vast majority didn't. If you were to look at Daniel chapter 9, did I say 8, by the way? Oh, I just love 8 so much that I put 8, but it's 9. 9:24 through 27, we are just going to read verse 25. I am not going to explain these four verses to you today. That will be during my Vespers that I'll be having as I follow through the whole book of Daniel step by step in the book of Revelation. But notice what it says. So you are to know and to discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, He came, the fullness of time had come because the prophetic utterance was fulfilled at this exact time. That's when Daniel said He'd come. By the way, in other spots throughout the Scriptures, prophetically, we see why He came and how He came. That's all predicted. But my point today is, it was prophetically uttered that He would arrive at this time. This very time. Now watch this as we move through this. This will captivate you. Number two, politically, it was correct. Why? At that time, there was one world government. There was basically one language throughout that known world part that had to do with God and His people. And by the way, the accepted literature language at that time was Greek, just like the language was Greek. The Romans built roads to attach the empire from everywhere, and the Jews were dispersed everywhere so that when they came back to the feasts and they would hear the latest on the Messiah, they would then go back home, and guess what? Everybody would hear. See, it was not only prophetically correct for Him to come at this very time, that's why it says the fullness of time, it was also politically correct for Him to come because of the situation and circumstances at that time. Number three is religiously. Both had lost their meaning and relevance. Friends, believe it or not, if you check in closely to your Bible especially, but even some history books and the Desire of Ages, you will discover that exactly when Jesus came was when the heathens were losing their fervor for their rites and ceremonies because it ended in nowhere, and the Jews had lost the understanding of their purpose. Is there a text in the Bible that describes that very instant that refers to us? How many churches are there in the book of Revelation? Seven, and the seventh church presumably is the last church, which would be us. And it says, they think they are rich and increase with good and need of nothing, but they don't even know that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. When Jesus came, the fullness of time had come that desperately the world needed Him, because the heathens weren't satisfied and the Jews were misled and going off into all different areas. The fullness of time had come, folks. It had come prophetically, it had come politically, and now it had come religiously. And the final reason it came was because of socially. Now, this sort of intermix a little bit with religiously, but when you get the real accent of this, you'll understand socially. It's hard to imagine that when Jesus came, the sin and debauchery and idolatry were rampant. And by the way, when you come and you live in Las Vegas, you know what sin and debauchery and idolatry is all about, don't you? See, we think of idolatry. The Bible's very plain, by the way. We think of idolatry as standing or kneeling before an idol and worshiping it. I want you to know the Bible says debauchery or idolatry also has to do with immorality. And any kind of sin. And who knows it better than Las Vegas? That tells me that when Jesus came, it was the most serious time of Earth's history. In fact, it was tantamount to the time of the flood, where their thoughts were continually evil all the time. In fact, I want to read this quote from Desire of Ages. I love it. I couldn't refrain from doing this. I have this quote, and it's a little bit lengthy, but then I have one sentence, and then we're almost done. Through heathenism, Satan had for ages turned men away from God, but he won his great triumph in perverting the faith of Israel. by contemplating and worshiping their own conceptions, the heathens had lost a knowledge of God and had become more and more corrupt. So it was with Israel. The principle that man can save himself by his own works lay at the foundation of every heathen religion. The principle that man can save himself by his own works lay at the foundation of every heathen religion. It had now become the principle of the Jewish religion. Satan had implanted this principle. And wherever it is held, what? Man has no barrier for sin. Now I want you to stop just for a moment. I want you to pause. Do this with me. I want you to think about this. If that's the truth, wouldn't this be a very dangerous time in which to bring a helpless baby who is going to be the Redeemer into existence in a world like that? How many mothers here would choose to bring your child into existence at a time like this? In fact, how many of you sitting there have either heard or said, I'm not having any children, we're not having any children because of the way the world is today? I want you to know that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit didn't even hesitate. But it couldn't happen any sooner. In fact, now I'm going to blow you away with one sentence. Okay? That was Desire of Ages 35. Now I'm going to read Desire of Ages 37. Here it is. With intense interest, the unfallen worlds had watched to see Jehovah arise and do what? The interpretation of the situation according to the unfallen worlds, the perfect beings that never gave in to Satan's temptation, was surely now God will act. Isn't that what the quote says? Did they have a surprise in for them, didn't they? In fact, what did God do instead? When the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. When the fullness of time had come, God gave. I want my church to know what I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger. Not that I would have listened. Christmas is not about buying gifts for each other, and especially our children who have a pile of junk hidden in closets and drawers everywhere. It is a time to acknowledge the greatest gift ever given. It's time to bring the best gift to Jesus. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was a little boy so I could have worked my way up and by then accepted it so I wouldn't be so old and have wasted so much for all these years when I could have had the greatest satisfaction, the most fulfillment, and also the peace and joy that would have been brought that every single Christmas service I brought the best gift that my household could offer. Instead of to my lovely, sweet wife who deserves so much, or my boys who I really don't want to give anything to Jesus. And I want you to know it may be too late for you this year. But I want you to remember this because God gives us a second chance. Next Sabbath on that tree, we are hanging our offerings. And whatever you plan for Christmas, you sure have planned something for the gift of the one whose birthday we're really celebrating. Now, I know it's not December 20, and I know 25th, and I know it came from Mithraism. I understand all the pagan roots of it, but now the Christian world and even the heathen world accepts it as a sign of Jesus. And if we put a tree in the church, which we are encouraged to do by the spirit of prophecy, in order to hang our gift, she says it is good. Did you know that? I'm going to read that to you. I want to make sure that you know that your pastor is not going by the customs of the world in order to play to the society of our time. God would be well pleased if on Christmas each church would have a Christmas tree on which shall be hung offerings. By the way, this is Adventist homepage 480, and it goes on to talk more about it, and there's another quote underneath it that's entitled, "A tree laden with offering is not sinful." This is not an idol, folks. A tree cut down and covered with silver and gold is referring in Jeremiah to an idol. If you read the context, you cannot miss it. It is not talking about a Christmas tree. But I missed the point, didn't I? How I wish all the resources of years I had wasted were now available to me today to say thank you to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit for allowing Jesus to come in His most vulnerable state at a time in which none of us would entrust our baby child. When the fullness of time was come, God gave. And if nothing else, Christmas is a time in which we give, not to each other, but especially to Jesus. And by the way, I won't argue with your fight, but the appointed method, according to the Bible, to give to Him is through the church. That's a fact. You bring your offerings to the sanctuary. This is the sanctuary. Now, before I close with a beautiful illustration, I want to show you what happened to me in studying and preparing for this sermon. Okay? All of a sudden, it hit me. Guess what? According to Matthew 24, Jesus is coming very soon. Politically speaking, the internet has attached us to the whole world, and we almost speak one language, folks. Religiously, people are desperately looking for answers, especially as economically the bottom is falling out everywhere on everyone, which, by the way, links us more closely together. And finally, socially, sex and sin are rampant across the globe. And it hit me. Guess what? These are all the signs that occurred before Christ's first appearing. That means Jesus is coming very, very soon. The true heart of Christmas is what? There was a girl who hated herself because she was blind. She hated everyone except for her loving boyfriend. He was always there for her. She told her boyfriend, "Oh, if I could see the world, I would marry you." And one day somebody donated a pair of eyes to her, and when the bandages came off, she was able to see everything, including her boyfriend. And he asked her, "Now that you can see the world, will you marry me?" The girl looked at her boyfriend and saw that he was blind. The sight of his closed eyes shocked her. She hadn't expected that. The thought of looking at them the rest of her life led her to refuse to marry him. Her boyfriend left in tears, but days later wrote a note to her saying, "Sweetheart, take good care of your eyes, for before they were yours, they were mine." Father in heaven, I want to pray that you would teach us how to give, that you would help us practice it, not because the church needs money, Lord, but because it's a way of showing our devotion and commitment to you. And doesn't the Bible says that where your money is, there is your heart also? Father, break down the barriers in our lives of selfishness and greed and pride. For there are people out there desperately looking for the truth, and we must prepare ourselves to be able to minister to their needs by having dealt with these issues prior. So would you bless each one? Father, if the finger of guilt is laying heavy on anyone in this congregation, how thankful I am to be able to say without a doubt that God is speaking to your heart. Not to condemn, but to forgive. And to teach us all how to not do it wrong the next time, but to do it the right way. So bless each one here, Father, but let decisions be made. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for making this all possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.